Do you think it's a good plan, the one that we've got?
I think it's all we've got, Princess. It's genuinely all we've got.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Fellowship of the Tabletop. We are a live play 5e D&D podcast set in the magical world of Aerith. My name is Mark and I just went into Cockney and I am the Dungeon Master. And also with us for today's episode, we have Darren, who plays the fighter rogue Robin.
All right, Governor, what's up your bum?
We've got Danny, who plays the human cleric Claude.
What's that got to do with my knob?
We've got Casey, who plays the human champion Helena Sleepguard.
What's that?
We've got Callum, who plays the gnome sorcerer Folly Pizzlebang.
No, I've got nothing. I was going to say hello. I'm boring. I can't. I'm broken.
And we've got Will, who plays the human bard Karstan.
You're having a bath if you think we're talking like this all episode.
Oh, Jesus, can you imagine? On last week's episode of the Fellowship of the... Wow, that was great, by the way, guys. Thank you very much. You were, our internal bedknobs and brooms... Bedknobs and broomsticks? Is that what it's called?
Yes, that is
one of them.
I did like the what's I got to do my knob reference. That cracked me up. So on last week's episode of the Fellowship of the Tabletop, we argued a lot, really. And that's all that seemed to really happen. We came across some would-be thieves that didn't really do very well in their... partaking of thievery upon yourselves, so much so that you managed to pass them by without even killing them, brushing them aside quite easily, and heading towards the town of Goldview. If you remember, Drago had left the party, disappeared in a puff of smoke, and left you all without a dragonborn as you made your way off to the east towards Goldview, the metropolitan city, the center of Sleepguard, and the necessity, the place we need to get to in order to find out more about this book, The World Away, the necessary book to stab with the Onyx Reaver and end the blight. You see Goldview standing before you, the jewel in the Sleepguard kingdom. For 300 years, this impressive metropolis of trade has economically and culturally dominated the realm. The high sand-coloured walls speaks to the deserts in Drolak to the south, but the dark stone of the buildings within echo the local trade of stone from the Sleepguard kingdom. Sat on the bronze storm sea, Goldview reaches out through commerce over the many kingdoms, drawing in trade from all areas of the central powers. Even trade from Shadowmend, far to the east, makes its way to the industrial and mechanized ports of Goldview. The sprawling city has method in the first glance madness. The streets spread like the ever-thinning branches of a tree. Dark clay roofs, browns and grey stone dominate the architecture of the city. But the gleaming sand walls that wrap mightily around the entire city speaks louder than any politician or king could. The city is worth protecting, and it has the means to do so. The Avlaf River flows with great speed through the city. Its currents run deep and carry much of the refuse from the city out to the oceans beyond. This has become particularly useful for those in a rush to dispose of something. Next to the Avlaf River, it's nestled in behind one of Teriani's most impressive gardens and shrines to the goddess, is the Sleepguard Castle. Its exterior walls made almost entirely from marble and sandstone. Gives the impression of a beacon of hope within the city. Locals, however, grumble that the reason the castle floors are marble is so blood is easy to wipe clean. The hustle and bustle of business and industry runs throughout this metropolis. An array of races and creeds are welcome and expected at Dockside. The weather always seems bright and warm in Goldview, despite the dreary weather that dominates the rest of the kingdom of Sleepguard. Rumour has it that there are a number of stock magic holdouts hidden away within the city, and the Magicarium would pay handsomely for access. You look up at these gigantic and impressive walls, and down to your left you see a humble, small, muddied stable nearby, with an old man sat outside. On your approach towards the city, you see, stapled onto almost every bark, every post, every building, are more and more of these wanted posters that you have seen previously, looking for your arrest and the capture of one heretic, which we know to be that of Claude. As you make your way out of the forest into the clearing, the mud paths which make up the major inlay road into the city, it's busy now. There's a constant flow of a few people, and suddenly you're all very aware that you're no longer in the wilderness that you have been for oh so long, but you are in civilization. The stables in front of you has quite a number of very well-kept, well-groomed black horses out front, with a man with a grey beard sat outside. He seems busy with some paperwork from your distance, which is probably about 300 or 400 feet away. If I remember correctly, Helena and Karstan, I believe you were out front after we left the rest of the conundrum in the forest. Is that right?
Probably. Claude was in the back.
Yeah, because I did that thing to make all the bandits run away.
The anti-life spell, right?
Yeah.
And then Robin and Folly would have been, I think, around in the middle passing by, and I feel that Karstan, you were up close with Helena as you left. So Helena, you step through first, and Karstan, you also step through, both aware of the city, aware of its history, aware of, you've both spent some time in here before, but at different times, obviously. Karstan much more recently and much more thoroughly than Helena, who was more of a kind of a passing visit through the city, even avoiding seeing family. You come out and you see the city of Goldview up front. Is there anything you'd like to say or do?
Well, who thought we'd be back here so soon?
Yes, I suppose so. It was always the plan to come back.
Yeah, I don't quite think we're going to receive the kind of welcome that you were hoping for coming back this time around.
I suppose the circumstances are different. I didn't expect to be bringing a big party of adventurers. I had it all different in my head.
And I suppose you didn't expect to have to sneak into the city rather than walking through the front gates.
Precisely.
It's going to be a bit difficult. It's not exactly like this party is very good at being inconspicuous.
No, do you think it's a good plan, the one that we've got?
I think it's all we've got, Princess. It's genuinely all we've got. And we get in, we heal your mother, we can then take things from there and hope we can sort it out and not get arrested. That'd be quite nice.
Yes, not get arrested. I don't suppose I would get arrested, but...
No.
One never knows.
And if possible, we would also like to all live. So, hopefully.
I don't think there'll be any doubt about that.
No, but...
This is not... Sorry to interrupt, but this is our final chance to decide if what we are doing is correct. Are we really going to walk into the city in one group?
We were going to follow the advice... and sneak into the city. Remember, we were given instructions on how we could be got into the city secretly.
Okay. So
I don't mind leading. I don't mind going ahead.
Just a quick query. Is Helena wearing the armor and clothing that would identify her as Princess Helena now, or has she gone more incognito?
I'm an untitled, right? I've stripped myself from my things.
Yep, so you've taken off your major pieces of armour that would show yourself to be of royalty, and now you're just wearing kind of traveller's clothes, relatively nice, but nothing that would get you in too much trouble or notice particularly. Folly and Folly and Claude, you would end up kind of catching up with the other couple of people here. Tali would also be with you in that group as you kind of group yourselves on the edge of this forest, about maybe 30 feet away from the main road. No one paying any attention. There's quite hustle and bustle now. 30, 40 people kind of passing, coming and going. These stables with the old man outside in front of you as well.
Okay. Oh, you ready to go to Elfie's house?
I think the plan, Claude, we need to go to the stables and tell them that Kennard owes us a pint. and they will be able to get us into the city. That's what Kennard's letter said to us.
Okay.
Mark, can I ask, do I recognise this chappy?
No, you've to be honest, never really looked outside the city walls in your time, and no, not at all.
I think, Danny, are you still wearing your armour?
Yes, but it's all Hailstorm Surge embroidery, so I should be fine. I've got the helmet on as well, so I'm completely unrecognisable. Tuck the beard in as well.
Right, I think the best thing to do, let's try and merge into the traffic, and then when we get close, we'll leave the road and talk to the people at the inn. Oh, not the inn, the stables.
Yeah, we do the thing that Kennard said.
Yeah. Just try not to draw attention to ourselves, I guess.
Robin is just going to glance around at the type of personnel that are travelling in and out of the city. Is there any type of discernible type of person, farm workers, dock workers? Is there any kind of distinguishable features to the largest part of the crowd that appear to be moving between?
Give me an investigation check, please, Robin.
Oh, I love an investigation check. Ask anyone. Of course you do. Well, it's a natural one.
Oh. The majority of traffic you see coming into the city is that of sailors dressed like sailors, dockmen and dock persons. So their getup is usually relatively oiled, browns, skins to kind of cover for rain, etc. Anything more than that you think would be overkill?
I will just say to the others, I'm going to, once we're well, I think it's just wise that we don't put all our eggs in one basket. I'm just going to hang back and make myself look inconspicuous and but if you need to get hold of me, I'll snap my fingers. I will have Neura appear on Talia's... No, she's an eagle. This is a terrible idea, but I've done it now. I thought she was a cat, but I've just gone to my notes to confer what Neura is at the minute, and she's an eagle. So, do you know what? Fuck it. Retcon. Let's go. I'm being silly. I'm being paranoid. Ignore me.
Anyone paying attention to this group of people loitering on the side of the road?
Passive perception of yours? Well, no, no one's even looking at you. People are busy moving their way to and from. If anything, if anyone does start to have an inkling, Will, Carsten will instantly be aware of it. So I will literally let you know if anyone's given you like a stank eye or a little look here or there.
Thanks, babe.
Unless there's anything massively high that you wouldn't be able to ascertain, but I doubt it. So, with that kind of indecision from Robin to, yeah, I feel that's an internal conflict you just had, Robin, where you've made that decision kind of clear, and Talia's maybe watched you do it and go, what's wrong? Anyway, you make out forward towards the main road. Is that right? We're heading onto the road and then cutting off back to the...
I think the idea is we're merging into the traffic, sort of blending in like an Assassin's Creed 1 where you blend in with the crowds and you can't be detected by anybody. And then we'll sort of casually drift across the traffic. And then come across if we have to cross the road. If the stables are on the same side as us, then we can just merge and come off. But
I like the idea that you're doing this. I won't be picking up on these signals, and we'll just walk in a straight line, clankety clanking all the way. And there's Carstan like a Metal Gear Solid stealth.
Because that would be conspicuous. Carstan's just trying to play it cool, okay. Blend in. That's the whole point.
Okay.
So none of you are going to blend in, basically. Anyway, luckily everyone else rolled like dog shit. So as you make your way down this path, you kind of merge into the traffic relatively well. Claude, you accidentally bump into an old man. And he moves out of your way. Thank you for your service. And he carries on walking down the road.
My lord.
The rest of the people you kind of come across, they move out of your way. Are you walking as one group?
I was going to go ahead. Okay. And Robin said he was going to hang back. So whether or not everybody else is in the middle or whether they've dispersed, I don't know.
Carsten probably staying ahead with Helena, because Carsten knows he can, you know, turn a quick phrase.
Tali would be next to Folly, wherever Folly's going.
Folly would still just kind of be hanging back a little bit. He's quite small, so he blends in quite easily with a lot of the children, to be honest. As long as he's got a decent pace about him, he can normally push through quite easily, I think.
Okay, so
he's trying to watch for things as much as he can, but there's not much he can see with all these people.
Absolutely. Okay, so you're kind of splitting yourself up into different kind of groups and echelons and sections throughout the group. Okay, so as you make your way up, Helena and Karstan near the front, Claude, I imagine you're in the middle, Robin, Folly near the back with Tali. You start to get closer and closer, and no one's really even looking twice. Helena, that's probably quite strange for you, given that this is Goldview, given this is Sleep Garden, you are used to, even when you are trying to hide it, getting looks, given your armor and your class and your status, that you get none of these now. Actually, people kind of half expect you to move out of their way rather than the other way around, which is, again, something you haven't appreciated before. After a few minutes walk up the road, blending into this, you hear the hustle and bustle of town and commerce and voices on your approach there. You come across the stables. You do have to cut across a little bit of the traffic, but there's no difficulty in doing it. It's just people, and people are convivial and stop and pass. And you manage to pass your way across first with Karstan to the stables off to the left of the main gates of the city. There's an old man sat outside wearing civilian clothing, white shirt, brown trousers, some shoes, no socks. Sat there deep in thought at some paperwork he has at a desk, sat outside the front of the stables with a line of maybe 20 to 30 well-bred, well-stocked, well-groomed black horses just off to the left.
Are the gates ahead of us, are they bolted shut? Are they open?
The gates are open. The gates are open, and they are armed. They're guarded by a small detachment of the town guard, but also a larger attachment of what looked like, from your distance, from where you currently are, looks like the same getup you'd seen from the Abkriskra. So blue robes, gold trim with staffs. Though the staffs are kind of semi-hidden, lent up against walls, a more relaxed mode to this. But the town guard are doing most of the heavy lifting in terms of stopping commerce, checking trade, etc. The Abkriskra seem to just be, well, what can you assume the Abkriskra are standing around?
Karstan, we don't need any horses, do we?
No, but I think, excuse me, sir.
Oh, hello? The man looks up, big grey beard, kind of greyed over eyes.
Are you the person that runs the stables?
Yes, I am. I have been the proprietor of this fine stable now for quite some time.
Myself and my friend here, and some others who are joining us, we're friends of Kennard's, and they told us Kennard owes us a pint, and he said that we should talk to you about maybe sorting that out.
He pauses for a moment, and his head looks down, and he puts the papers down and slowly stands, reaches to his right and grabs a stick, quite a long stick, that he holds the end of it, and he starts reaching himself out further and further. You quickly realize, Karstan, this man is blind. And he points the stick out until he kind of hits the sides of you, kind of the hips of you, Karstan, and then approaches you and kind of goes to kind of touch your face. Are you going to stop him? Are you going to let him?
Oh, this is quite personal, but okay.
I need to just make something clear. And he just quickly touches your face. Yes, excellent. Thank you. The name's Gregor Lightfoot. I know what you mean, and I know what you need. Is just the two of you heading into the city, or are there more?
There are...
There might be
four more.
Just
a couple of minutes.
Yes.
Four more, that makes six. That's more than... I'm just doing the mathematics in my head. It's dangerous times, you see. You've probably seen the posters, the number of people that are being stopped. Before we do anything, he's looking out at this point. Before we do anything, may I ask that the two of you just step into this empty bay for the stables here, just to say we don't draw attention to a large gathering of people. They are stopping everyone, you see.
Of course. Yes, we'll take a look at the horses and pretend to be respectful buyers.
Well, Helena will stroke them and give them a little bit of attention.
Please be careful, young lady. They are horses going to the battalion of the 4th, led by the commander Gomir. They are to be well looked after. I supply his battalion with many horses, you see. But yes, please do look. They are probably too expensive for you, but please feel free to look as you wait.
My friend here quite likes horses, so thank you for letting us have a look at them.
Most wonderful. Excellent. A friend of horses is a friend of mine.
Stop her saying anything.
We seem to have some more approaching. And who would be next in that? Probably Claude and Folly?
Folly would not be travelling with Claude at this stage. He would keep him in eyesight, but he wouldn't be that far behind, but he would not be arriving at the same time.
So just Claude, clankety-clank, up your post. Soldier, well met. May I help you?
Yes, I also require a beverage from Kennard.
Ah, I see. You are one of the six, I see. Please see the others inside the stable on the left.
Which way of the compass would be left?
When you go in, go to the longer end. That is left, young man.
Okay.
Thank you. In we go. Quickly, please, send your attention to yourself. And now we have a group of three approaching. And a child. And a young girl.
Dad, sorry, did he just call me a child?
I can only tell from the height of where my stick, and he kind of, he's been booping everything with the stick as you've been approaching. And so he's kind of booped your height, booped Tali's height, and booped Robin and assumed it's a man. He's felt from the annoyance of Tali as he poked it with the stick, and then the height of you to assume you're a child. Yeah, I'm terribly sorry. Dwarf?
Noob, I'll have you know, sir.
Well, I'm terribly sorry for the inconvenience. It's difficult, but it's just my hand, you see. I've lost my sight, so... Races are hard to convene, but what's a race here? I deal mainly in horses. Are you the final three?
That depends. How many people have convened at this location so far?
Depends. That sounds like a very obscure question. May I ask who you are here to see?
I believe I'm here to see Kennard. I think he owes me a drink.
Oh, yes. No, that's correct. Yes. There's three of you inside. Clankety-clank, armored man, the young lady, and the one who talks too much. They're all inside.
That certainly does sound like my traveling companions. Excellent.
In you go. You, young man, are you the last?
Well, I sincerely hope I am.
Yes, so do I. You wouldn't do me a favor. Your eyes are slightly better than mine. And as Tali and Folly walk in, he leans in close to you. Is anyone looking at us particularly? Please look at the walls in particular. Any of the guards taking any notice?
I'll have a look around just to see if anyone is.
Give us an investigation.
That's better. 23.
You quickly scan on the walls and can discern that even from the body language, the fact that no one's looking your way, but also the body language means no one is paying any attention to this guy or the stables outside. There also, you seem to notice, seems to be a slight hubbub at the gate as there are two people trying to get in, and they seem to have been found out to have some cargo that they shouldn't have, and there's a bit of a hustle and bustle at the gate, which is distracting most of the guards.
Well...
Well, we appear to be unnoticed. Are they searching everybody who comes to the gates?
Yes, well, most people. Some are more searched than others, especially larger groups such as yourself. You've done the right thing coming to me via my route into the city. Yes, people who are dodgy, people who they have questions for, dragonborns, heretics, children, etc. Anyone on this wanted poster, really, I can't read it myself, but I understand there's a long list of people they're looking for, and I don't tend to ask questions, especially when Kennard is involved. I have a old affiliation with Blackmouth, you see, from many years ago. Good, thank you for checking, young man. Please, hurry inside, just for your own safety and mine.
I'll just pop my hand on his shoulder as he turns to go and just go, are there many Dragonborns in Goldview?
There are less now than there were. Unfortunately, they have become a rarer substance, but you can still find them. Many work on the docks. Many have left since the wanted posters came out, but if you're to find any, if that is indeed what you're looking for, then the docks, their strength and prowess, make them useful for dock work.
And I'll walk inside.
He shuts the door and you find yourselves in just a relatively normal stable. A number of black horses are in bays inside. The horses you saw are all outside lined up, but there are more inside. A few of them are being kind of hayed up by one young boy who is also working in there. But as he kind of shoots you some looks, worried looks, and then as soon as the old man, Gregor, walks in, you hear him go, "Boy, leave now, outside, out you go, come on." And then he like boops him up the butt with the stick. Ah, not up the butt, but kind of on the butt with the stick. He goes, whoa, he shuts the door behind him. "Now, are you on the left where I said? Speak clankety, loud one, where are you?"
"I'm on the left, I think."
"Yes, excellent. Yes, you're in the right place. Now,
he pauses for a minute and paces once or twice. He puts the stick down and walks quite freely around the space. You obviously get the impression he knows this area well.
"I run a very reputable business here. The horses I bring are part of the cavalry for Gamir and the Fourth, fighting the Blight on the western coast of Sleetguard, you see. Very important work. You must each promise me that what I'm about to tell you, you did not hear from me, and if it ever comes back to me, comes back from you to me, that you dobbed me in, so to speak, I'll deny all knowledge and call you a fucking liar. So please just bear that in mind. I'm very protective of my business here. Bard..."
Out of character, Nate Mark, for the purposes of the moment, I am going to be inciting everything just in case, to be extra cautious. And then I'll talk if you want me to.
No problem. Are you going to be using your passive? Are you going to be physically doing it? So do you want to give me an insight check?
Well, I'm using my passive unless... Mm-hmm.
You get the impression of
something. Unless you want me to roll because you think something's piqued my interest and wants me to delve further, and then I'll be concentrating a bit more. But this is considered a passive, like, you know, if I suddenly go, "Hang on a minute, that doesn't sound too right."
Yep. So no, yeah, you can ask. Yep, no problem. Yeah, what is your passive for that?
21.
Cool. No problem. Okay, yeah, and I'll let you know. And basically I'll play it. If I play it slightly questionable, then that's me kind of telegraphing to you that something's questionable in what you're saying. But everything so far is on the up and up. Everything seems to make sense. He does own stables. There are horses. It would make sense they're sold to a...
Yeah, it's mainly just if anything like doesn't sound... So if he starts to lie and it sounds like he's putting us in danger, that's when Karstan's going to get alarmed.
No problem.
How do you know I'm a bard? It's amazing that someone who can't see, you know I'm a bard. That's amazing.
Well... Just because I can't see doesn't mean I can't hear you. You can hear those bagpipes all the way up the bloody street.
As
you walked in, I heard the whang of a lute or some kind of a stringed instrument as you walked past me.
Oh, you're very perceptive.
One must be when you live this long and have no eyes. Well, I have eyes, so I just can't see from them. Nonetheless, Well, you've made me miss my...
You have our word that we won't...
Yeah.
We won't
betray your trust or Kennard's trust in us.
Good. Bloody Kennard owes me more than a pint for this. Anyway, so you might not be aware, but there was an old sewer system in underneath Goldview that was overtaken. It's now called the Rat Run. You can't use that. It's been overtaken, not by rats, by something much, much worse, in my opinion, Stockies. So we can't go via that. However, in the second iteration of the city, there was a normal sewer system built in that is now no longer used. The sewers of today go even deeper. So, and he uses a stick and ding-ding bangs on a metal grate. It's in the corner on the left side of the stables. Nearest to two of the horses. You can't really see it because it's covered in hay. Through there, it's another city down there entirely. Best of luck. It's quite confusing and it's not particularly clear on which direction to go. But if you're looking for Kennard,
I can take you pretty much to the exact drain which you should be able to enter outside the pub and surpass a lot of the problems outside the city. Now, no one knows this gate is here, this grate, so please, again, do not tell anyone. Yes, Bard?
Pub, does the sewers come out outside of?
The Half Hoof Inn. I believe that's the one that Kennard is currently the proprietor at. Not for long, though. He's only been there a few days, but he came to me first. And... Is that where you want to go? Is that right?
I mean, that's certainly helpful. Thank you.
I just thought it'd speed your journey up a bit.
Mr. Carstan, and I'm just going to say very quietly into your ear, the last time I was in Goldview, I don't remember a half-hoof pub.
Do I remember a half-hoof pub from my time in the city before I found Helena and Felstrop?
Yeah, you never went there, but you'd heard of it.
It's definitely been there, Claude. It wasn't one I frequented. I was more for performing at some of the better establishments. It was a bit run down, but I suppose if Kennard's just taken it over, maybe he's trying to improve it. It's near the middle of the city, though, I think.
Okay. If you remember seeing it, all right. And I'll just sheepishly walk away.
Yeah. I think it's down from a very nice bookstore, if my memory recalls.
Yes, right next door to it. There's one of them, 3 bookstore, secondhand fiction, yep, very good. Nonetheless, good for some. I can't read, obviously, blind. Instructions. There are a couple here. Don't forget them. It's quite straightforward. I'll open up the grate, and you go down the ladder. Yep. You go down the ladder, and then at the 3rd crossroads, you turn left, and then you take, and then the 2nd after that, you take a right, and that gets you past the city gate.
Well, the 2nd crossroad after that.
Yep, so it's 5 in total. 3rd, you turn left. 2nd, you turn right. Follow the path on 50 paces, and you reach out for a ladder. It'll be dark. None of you other folk can see in the dark. Or maybe you can. I wouldn't recommend torches. Grab the ladder. Take it up. There'll be a space in a larger chamber above. Then you will see some torchlight. Follow the torchlight. The next 2 choices you have, you want to go 2 lefts, 1 right, and there will be another ladder. Take that ladder up. Now.
Claude has started to sweat profusely at this point.
Carstan has been writing this down.
Check before you get out. Because that is directly outside the front of the Half Hoof Inn, and sometimes there are patrons or people hanging around, and if they see 6 people come out of a drain that was supposed to be unused, there will be questions that will be raised. So check around.
What time of day is it, Mark?
Huh?
No, what time of day is it, Mark?
Oh, right. It's difficult to stop doing that voice. It is midday.
Okay. How long will it take us to navigate through the sewers?
Not long, as long as you don't get lost. Probably 10, 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes.
I mean, I suppose it might... Is it worth us... I mean, it might be a bit nice, but we could, I suppose, stay in the sewers until it got dark and creep out when no one's around.
That's your call. What you do in the sewers is up to you, but just tell Kennard he owes me more than 1 pint for this. Put my arse on the line.
When you say no torches, is that because... Can we use magical light? Is that okay?
It's your call. All I'd say is on the way in, the first few areas are very important because you're passing under the gates near the Obkrishka Centre. So they have eyes on the sewers, and if they see light, they'll probably send a fireball down. So just something to be aware of, you know.
I have an idea. I'm just going to let Kennard know that we're on our way, and then he can meet us at the sewers.
Oh. Right. Yes.
If I could interrupt, maybe Claude Carstan has the right of it. Wait until we're in position, and maybe we have to wait until the cover of darkness to alert Kennard to our presence.
Why don't I tell him we're going to be there this evening?
Well, I mean, let's not put Kennard in. What we don't want to do is ask Kennard to be somewhere, and then we get waylaid on route and
I agree.
Cause problems for Kennard. I think. Once we're down there and once we're close to getting out, we can then try and contact him. But the less people we put in danger, the better.
It's also likely to point out, it's worth me saying to you all that this isn't the first time that I've crept into a city through its sewer network, and I'm quietly confident that I can navigate us through this.
All right, Robin, you take the reins.
How dark is it down there?
I don't know. I'm blind.
What's that like?
Sorry.
Well, it's a bit dark. But I've had it most of my life, you see, so you get used to it, I guess. I can't remember seeing.
So you were able to see once?
Yes, once upon a time.
You can't see anymore?
No. Nope.
I'm going to cast Great Restoration on him and remove his blindness.
Wow.
Okay, yep, cool, okay. No problem.
I was hoping you'd do that, I won't lie. I really was hoping.
So what happens with Greater Restoration, Karstan?
Why are you asking me?
Sorry. I'm Claude.
I can remove the ability blindness.
Yeah, I get you, but what does Claude do to Karstan?
He's going to whisper something in Infernal and then say the word Akiva and then touch this man on the side of the face, and then this almost like Star Trek, I forget the name of the character.
Geordi LaForge.
Yes. Like a visor appears of light over his eyes and around his ears and then restores his sight.
Which one of you? And he squints away at this, and he kind of covers his eyes for a couple of seconds before looking through them closely by at you. Who did this?
I'm not going to raise an arm. I'm not going to raise an arm and point at anyone.
And he starts to blink through and looking up at the group of six of you. Who was it?
Are you okay?
I can see.
That's
I can see.
Brilliant.
Consider it a gift from us to you in thanks for your...
Blessings to you all. Thank you so much for this. I don't know. Take a horse. Do you want a horse? Have a horse.
No, it won't be able to fit down the grate.
I don't think it would fit down. Yeah, that's a very good point. It wouldn't fit. It's not very quiet. But
consider this us saying thank you for the risk you're putting yourself in for helping us.
I'd say it's better than a pint, right?
I think I need to give you more than that. You come back to me as long as you're not in trouble, even if you are in trouble, and I will help you in literally any way I can. I have two eyes. That means I can give one, and they were given by one of you. So
thank
you.
He's
literally physically shaking at this, like tears are falling from his face as he looks to you, kind of like looking at the horses and starts calling them out by name.
Gregor,
and kind of patting them and seeing them.
It's perhaps wise that you, I don't know, maybe you have your sight come back over a few days as some kind of spontaneous miracle rather than going out there saying you could see, because it might draw attention.
Very good idea. I will say I fell. And when I woke up, I could see. Yes, I will. I'll wait a few days before that happens. But thank you so much to all of you.
Perhaps, given that we've just used some magic, perhaps we should make our way quickly, just in case someone has detected that.
Oh, that was magic. Yes, absolutely. You should go. 100%. I will cover if anyone comes near. And he'll pop his head out and God, fuck me, it's bright out there. I forgot the sun was so bright.
Robin, you've got something that helps you see in the dark, don't you?
I do. I can see in the dark.
I think, Folly, you can see in the dark as well, can't you?
Yes. I can see in the dark. No problems.
There are four of us that can't, so perhaps one of you needs to go at the front, one at the back, and we should use some rope to tie ourselves in a little chain so we don't get lost.
Very well. I shall volunteer to go at the back. I believe Robin, with his experience, will be more suited for the front indeed.
I'm happy to lead, though I balk at the idea of tying ourselves together. We may need to hide. We may need to move quickly.
But the problem is, Robin, is if we do move quickly, and given the routes we have to take, if someone accidentally stumbles in the dark and gets lost, we run the risk of them getting lost or something like that. Whereas tying ourselves together means even on just a bit of rope with a bit of slack between us, it gives us a chance to not get too far ahead, too far behind each other.
Gregor, can I ask, you said we might get lost. Where else could we possibly end up?
Well, anywhere else in the city, really. It's, the goats are all over the place, and they all look the same. It's part and parcel of the large city's sewer system. But just follow the instructions. I can tell you them again if you need me to.
No, it's fine. I was just wondering how and when and where we might arise should we stray from the path.
Yes. Now, tricky to say.
I'm quietly confident that I can keep us on the path. And as a Darren to DM note, Robin has urchin background, which means navigating cities is much, much easier for him.
Yeah, you've pretty much got this nailed. You've seen sewer systems in your past. You've travelled them many a time. So, yeah, not a problem for you.
I would like to take Master Gregor in the hand and shake it and say thank you for all of your help.
Thank you for your stoic work on the Western Front. Thank you for all your service fighting the blight. I wish you all the best in your endeavours.
We'll take it from here so that no one gets alerted to you misbehaving.
Thank you. I appreciate it for my business and for my family. Anytime, anything you need, horses, money. Well, I haven't got much of it, but I will share it with you all. I will. Please come back and let me know. Gregor Lightfoot.
Lightfoot you will be, and I will mumble something in Infernal again and cast Bless upon him.
And he stands up even taller at this point. Bless you all. May the triumvirate bless you all. I will leave you to your time. No one will bug you, but please make haste. And he's going to step outside the door, one final look of glee and elation as he looks outside and sees outside in nature for the first time. Looks back to you all, smiles, tear in his eye, shuts the door and leaves you on your own.
That was a very good thing you did there, Claude. Very kind thing.
I exist to make Erith better, little by little.
So, who's going first? And Helena's going to look towards the grate.
I'm going first.
Are we doing the rope idea, or...?
I like the rope idea. I don't like to be blinded.
It's just it could be quite disconcerting for some of us to not be able to see.
Yes, I think it's a good idea. We attach the rope to each of us.
Yep, so we're doing that. Who's got the rope?
So Robin at the front, and then a chain of rope all the way back to Folly at the back.
I don't know who's got the rope, actually.
Well, check your inventory, guys. We should all have some in some...
I've got 30 foot rope, I'll use that.
As you make your way down the footing of this ladder, it's metal and it's rusted. It's old rust. It's been there for a very long time, and it feels awful as your hands rub on it. As you make your way down, feels like 40, 50 steps down before you hit your feet down onto a thin layer of water. And it does really feel like water. It doesn't feel like anything else. Apart from the light from the grate above, there is no other light you can see. Robin, at the front, you can make out a path directly forward down towards the, straight ahead of you pretty much. As you walk, you notice a series of left and rights approach and leave all the way down this corridor, Robin. You know from your experience as an urchin and your background and your time on the Sword Coast how to get into cities, roughly where the center of a city would be and therefore how far you need to go. And you also made quick work of the directions that were given to you by Gregor Lightfoot, the now, up till now, recently blind proprietor of a stable outside of Goldview. So at the third crossroads, you turn left. At the second, you take a right. You stop and listen. The party stops behind you. Could you make a perception check, please, Robin?
Sure.
And Folly, could you make one as well, please?
You.
12.
Thank you.
Ah, crit.
So 22?
No, just 20. I have no improvement to perception.
No problem. Robin, out front, you hear nothing, but you're almost certain that the coast is clear. You can't see anything except for the sewer continuing, the dilapidated and now cracked and broken sewers. Folly at the back, you're not being followed. You know that for sure. You not only follow the route that you've gone, but you follow the other routes that people could be following along, keeping an eye out for any lights, any glints, any noises, and you're hearing nothing so far.
So Robin would at this point take a piece of paper out of his pocket, and he's probably done this at a couple of points, but Robin would be aware that the closer you get to the city centre and the more dense the population is above you, the higher the water pressure below, because more stuff is pouring into the sewers. So Robin just drops a piece of paper, almost like he's playing poo sticks with the paper, into the water flow. And as he notices that the water flow is getting stronger and the paper is being pushed further away, he concludes that the party is moving closer to the centre of Goldview.
Yes, that would be absolutely correct. But though, bear in mind, this is an old disused sewers now, but it still takes a lot of rainwater off from the top of the city. So it's not a huge amount of water, probably like an inch. And this is probably just runoff water from rain from a previous day. You're aware that a city of this side would have a hell of a lot more sewage. But yeah, this is a kind of a more disused one. But you can still drop the paper and you see it moving. You discern that you're getting closer. On your second right, you follow the path and you count out the 50 paces. And the 50 paces seem to go on forever, 5, 6, 7, 25, 26, 27, 28, to the 40s. And as you get to 45, Karstan, you're almost certain you hear a click, a noise come from behind. Could you make a perception check, please?
That's all right. I can do this roll because you're not relying on sight, are you, doing sound? Right.
And Folly, could you also make one for the back?
Folly, you rolled a 12.
I rolled a 13, though the passive is 26.
I'll take the passive. You make out a click, the party freezes as you stop the rope from moving, stopping Robin moving at the front and the people from behind from moving as well.
Robin, I heard something behind us.
You hear a scratching noise, a little noise from behind, which comes close by you and shoots past your legs in front, through past you all. And as it whips by you, Folly, you notice the small mouse shoot up along the sewer beside you. Robin, you also see it pass by you, and Karstan, you can hear this animal kind of pass by you, and it makes its way up. And Karstan, the echoes kind of fade off as it disappears up into the city ahead.
Sorry, I thought I heard something. I thought it was best to say something.
You did the right thing, though. There's going to be a lot of rats down here, just to warn you if anyone doesn't like them. We're not alone.
I mean, at least we can't see them.
That's a good point. Robin, out in front, you take your 49, 50th step, and as you reach your hand out, you could see it coming, and the man was true to his word, almost to the letter. In front of you, without having to take a 51st step, you reach out and there is another ladder. You could see it coming, but it was just impressive, the specificity of the instructions and the number of paces necessary. And it makes sense. You take the ladder. And as you make your way up, this ladder doesn't seem to be up as high, doesn't seem to go up as high, only about 20 rungs or so. But as you get up, each of you in turn start to notice the volume of just general hubbub above you start to get louder as you realize you're getting closer to the surface. You reach the top of this ladder and you realize you're on a second kind of platform of the sewer area, and open a larger chamber. And you can see now above kind of soil sealed grates that look up, and you can see the sunlight now coming through here. You can now make out the size of the room, and you can make out the noise of the internal workings of the city. You're past the gates, you're past the walls. You look further down the chamber, and Robin, you can see a number of sconces that are lit. There is torchlight further down in this tunnel. There seems to be a more frequented area of the tunnel. You can see refuse, the odd a bit of mess and kind of rubble, etc., rubbish that might have been used, orange peels, for example, in there of people where they might have been here at one time, but for now they are deserted. The torchlight leads you straight ahead, probably about 50 feet or so, Robin. What would you like to do?
Is the coast clear?
Give me a perception check.
12 again.
Yeah, you're pretty certain it's clear.
Robin?
Karstan.
Who do you think lit the torches? It just seems a bit odd for the disused sewer system to have someone leaving torches around.
We were told to expect them to be lit here.
I know, it's just ordinary. Doesn't it imply that we may encounter others? I just thought I'd say.
Then that's all the more reason to move as quickly as possible.
Mark, is the light from the torches and the light from grates above us, is it enough for us to be able to see in this gloom?
Yes, you can pretty much make out as if it was like dim light.
Okay.
So you're not, for all intents and purposes, blinded.
I think we can untie ourselves now. It might make things easier from going forward.
Would you like me to communicate with Kennard?
Not yet. Let's wait until we're sure that we're heading in the right direction.
Are you continuing along the path?
Yes.
Okay, Eki. So you continue to make your way down past these torches, and there's quite a few of them. And if you remember the wording, you said the next choices, two lefts, one right, and there will be a ladder. And again, you come to a series of T-junctions. You take your first left, you take your second left, and as you approach that right turn, you can indeed see this final ladder. But by now, they've turned into corridors, quite small, sharp areas, quite specific, really, in their distance. The large area you were in previously has really narrowed down to almost you can only follow one person in front of the other. Robin, you approach this ladder, and as you move up it, I'm assuming you're going to move up it, you can take a look at the grate, and you can see you are in the city. You can see roughly where you are. You can't make out anything unless you want to peep. I didn't want to discern, but unless you want to peep your head out, you can't make out where in the city you are. Obviously, you haven't been here before, but you are within the city walls.
Well, the instructions have held true. We're where we're supposed to be. Do we wish to wait for the cover of darkness?
Now might be a good time for Claude to contact Kennard. Maybe Kennard would have some advice on how we should proceed. He might say, tell us to wait down here, or he might know other directions that could get us to a less conspicuous exit.
Makes sense.
I'm on it. I'm going to cast Sending.
Okay.
Kendrum, we're downstairs. Should we wait till it's night time? Or can we come out of the stinky sewer? Lots of love, Claude and company.
You hear silence for quite some time, Claude, and then you hear, wait 1 minute. I'll cause a distraction. Come in through the front door, then act conspicuous.
Okay, everybody, we said we've got to wait 1 minute. And then we're going through the front door and act conspicuous. I'm sure he meant inconspicuous. But in the event he said conspicuous, we should behave conspicuously.
I could play my bagpipes. That would be conspicuous.
I'll go clankety clankety clank. Folly can come up in a blazing storm of fire.
I think, Claude, he meant inconspicuous.
That's what I think.
Yes.
I think he meant that too.
Okay. Yeah, when I heard Mark say, I was like, does he mean that? Because that could cause some issues.
So I will count to 60, and then I will, unless anyone else wants to go first, I will start to climb up the ladder out the grate, making noises.
Claude, as you get to the top of the grate, you suddenly hear, fire, fire, like that. And as you pop your head out, you can see a nearby stack of disused barrels that have been lit on fire, with a individual in a cloak sat nearby screaming at it and pointing at the barrels. Everyone else around is running around, but he seems to just be sat there cross-legged, pointing and shouting at the barrels, and then every now and then we'll look over to where you are, but without making any other eye contact. He's in a big black cloak with the hood up at the moment.
Okay. I will presume that is our distraction in chief. And we'll push up the grate if possible, and stay like come up to the surface and stick my hand down the hole and help everyone else back up.
At this, the figure kind of stands up and is like giving you like the "come on, hurry the fuck up" kind of gesture with his thumb over to your throat, going "go, go, go, go." Whilst he kind of looks around, he quickly, on noticing a few people start to come from a different angle towards you, reaches into his pouch and pulls out a small oil skin, skin of some kind, and throws that onto the fire, which poof, explodes a bit bigger. Shit! Rick, quickly go, run, get help, get someone! And the people who are going to approach run off around the other corner. He quickly makes his way, Claude, over to you as the last one, grabs you by the arm and quickly walks you in to the half hoof inn and pushes you in the door and slams it shut behind him. Wait, you all in? Are you all in at this point? Sorry, I've kind of fast tracked that.
I don't think any of us would have resisted.
Mm-hmm, he's just kind of got you in. Okay. He quickly runs you in, poof, shuts the door, and goes, "Act conspicuous," and then walks himself in and stands behind the bar and starts taking out a glass. His hood's down now.
Inconspicuous or conspicuous?
He said conspicuous.
Yeah, I'll walk like I am throwing a tantrum.
And he turns around to you and goes, "No, conspicuous."
Do you mean inconspicuous?
Inconspicuous. Even I know what that means.
What fucking one means acts quietly and stealthily?
Inconspicuous.
There's all the instruction that you gave.
Inspicuous then. Just be inspicuous and I just do play it cool, all right? Just sit at the fucking table.
I'm going to play it cool, all right? I'm going to play it cool and I'm going to start mimicking his body language.
Claude, you and I are going to have a fucking talk in a minute, okay? You can't go taking my accent. It's now famous. Shut the fuck up. Sit down.
Calm down.
You lot are taking the piss now.
And also, Cast, I would have done that in a perfect Kennard accent as well. That would have been a perfect Kennard impersonation as well.
That was fucking good. I hope I sound like that. That's pretty fucking good. Now sit down. I'll get you a drink. Just all of you, just sit down. Shut up. I'll be back in a second. And he walks off. And you see, as he looks around to the other patrons in the space, the same disengaged, vacant, and slightly out of his depth look that you saw back in Blackmouth. The shock of black hair, pale features, but without his bow, he seems smaller somehow. As he starts to pour out a few drinks, and as you see them approach on the table, you see the milk, you see the spirits, you see the beers approaching, and you can see a small smile, which is pursed out of his lips by looking away and then taking an order from another patron. As you quickly look around as he's pouring you some drinks, the main portion of the Half Hoof Inn is situated in the right hand of a large staircase climbing dark oak wood, which dominates the inn. The floor, walls, ceiling are all this deep dark wood with beams, mezzanines, doors, tables, chairs, all sharing the same kind of wood color, which seems to really absorb light. So it's really quite dark in there, save the sconces, which give you light. The floor space is kind of square, the corridor leading off straight, but kind of ahead and to the right. Small but ornate sconces pitter on the walls, giving low but comforting light to the inn. There are 8 round tables, one of which is sat at the moment. 4 tables are full of patrons, 5 now with you, and all the mix of races, all drinking, or playing cards, deep in conversation. A fire burns in the corner. There's no music, just the hum of conversation and the energy that comes with living in a city of this size. Despite the small stature and humble decor, the atmosphere is almost electric. As the bar in front of him kind of empties, the wry smile of the Blackmouth native returns and he picks up his drinks and passes them over to you one at a time as he walks over. He looks shiftily around at the other patrons before waving to one finally and then sitting down next to you all. What the fuck are you doing here? You shouldn't have come.
We wanted a drink.
We followed your instructions. We had to come back to the city. We've got things to do here. And you said that we could get into the city using what you said in your letter.
Instructions? What letter? I never left it. I've only just got here. I got here yesterday. I've only just spoken to James's mom. I've dealt with all the problems. I only got here yesterday, and then you lot up here. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I only just know how to work the bar.
Right, where's that letter?
Carstan will then pull out the letter and lay it out on the table.
Fucking hell, mate, you've been had. How do they know that? And he's pointing at points in the letter as you get to certain bits. Really confused as to... Did one of you do this? Because only you would have known what I know.
We found this on after we got off the carts that took us down the mountain. Folly and I found this with an arrow, with a black mouth arrow on nailed up to something.
Was it on a tree or a window ledge or something? I can't remember now.
Whatever it was. This wasn't me. I've only just got here. How would I have time to get from Scale Road to Blackmouth to Goldview to then back to the Siphon and then back to Goldview?
Eagle? Did you turn into an eagle?
No, Claude. And I need to have a chat with you about making fun of my accent in a bit. Drink your milk. But anyway, more serious plot device. I didn't do that letter.
Maybe, because somebody maybe, knows where we are.
Maybe now is a good time for you to head straight to the castle.
I think I need to leave.
And maybe now is a good time to end this week's episode.
Tabletop.
You a-hole.
Does anyone want to do the send-off, the Ian send-off? Because I don't want to, because I've done enough talking in this episode.
I wanted to see, I want to hear Claude do it in Claude's voice. Yeah. I'll be honest.
He segues. We need to have a conversation first.
All right.
Sentences. Yeah.
Well, we finally got into, Goldview.
I figured it out. So Drago clearly disappears, travels back in time, impersonates Kennard's writing, and leaves us the notes.
And if you want to leave us some notes, you can do so on our Twitter page. You can follow all of us at Fellowship Table. You can follow us individually at, starting with you, Darren Page. How can we find you on the socials?
I reckon if you go onto Twitter and put in Darren Page 06, that will do it.
Thank you very much. Callum, what are you?
I believe I'm at the D20 Gamer.
And you, William, where might we find you?
I'm at Natural 20 Will.
And you, Casey?
Unicorn Crit.
And myself? I am at Total Party Thrills. Thank you for asking, Claude. And our fabulous, glorious, many things that end in S's related to complimentary phrases, Dungeon Master. Mark, how might we find you?
Oh, didn't expect this at all, but you can find me at Hastily Rolled DM.
Until next time, guys.